Welcome, metal listeners. This is
Into the Convoy.
Welcome, welcome, metalheads. This is Into the Combine. I am Shoddy.
Jason.
Stay in the man.
And we thank you again for joining us with another week.
Shoddy, what are we doing this week?
What are we doing this week, Stan?
We got an awesome episode. We got a little bit. Jason got a little bit of news for us and stuff, but
so we got news, and then I think we have an interview.
A very fantastic interview, actually.
Yeah,
I was real pissed off about this one.
Yeah, Shoddy, this is your band. You missed it,
Me and Stan held it down
very well. By the way,
yeah, I'm gonna just say this, you fucked up.
I know. I mean, dude, family, it's whatever.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, we didn't need to get into the reasons why I couldn't be there. I wish I could have been there, but I assure you guys at home that these two fucking held it down, and you are going to be treated with a great interview. But let's get into the news first, Jason.
Well, we should tell them the interview is with Patrick Sheridan.
I thought we were gonna save the suspense.
No, it's in the title of the episode.
I guess that's
from
right.
Fit for an Autopsy. So we'll get into that. We're just going to give you guys a little bit of news first, and then we'll jump into the interview. So one of the big ones that I was pretty pumped on that I saw, After the Burial, they've got their new album coming out on the 19th of February.
Can't wait.
That one's called Dig Deep. First one without Justin. We're all assuming that he wrote some of this album, but we don't think he got to record much of it, but we don't know.
Yeah. I don't know if they are going to tell us. I don't know if they're going to try to put that in the rear view, but...
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Because I know he was such an integral part before, so we'll see what happens.
You know, everybody's already heard about Lemmy from Motorhead passing away just recently.
Yep.
A big hit to the metal community.
A big
for
one.
For sure.
Do we know how he passed?
He had cancer.
Oh, because yeah.
He had like a week to live.
Really?
Yeah.
It was like 2 days, I think, since he got diagnosed and he passed away.
Yeah.
That's sad.
So we won't go into that. Everybody's probably read a ton about that. It's everywhere you look on social media, and rightfully so. The guy was a metal god. And then we got a few things going on with recording. Just read that Norma Jean is recording their new album. We've got Whitechapel. They're going in to record their sixth album. I already said about After the Burial. And then pretty cool tour announcement I just saw. Unfortunately, isn't coming to Michigan, but for all you guys out there elsewhere, Between the Buried and Me, August Burns Red, The Faceless, and Good Tiger. That is going all around the U.S.
Interesting combo.
Yeah, they're doing that co-headlining Between the Buried and Me and then August Burns Red. So I'm assuming they're going to be splitting dates on that.
Very similar in a way.
They've toured before, I believe. ABR
you might
and
be right,
BTM.
Yeah.
You might be right.
I'm almost positive.
It's such a good combination.
Yeah, it is. It's a cool combo. I mean, they throw in their progressive stuff. It fits.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it was a little, or if it is naive to say, but when I first started listening to ABR, I had, already been a fan of Between the Buried and Me, and I thought that ABR was a little bit like Between the Buried and Me, but just to the point.
Yeah.
Their songs were more, they did all that tech stuff, but it wasn't, I guess, I don't want to say as long and drawn out, but you get what I'm saying. There was just shorter.
Yeah, I don't know if I compare them much, but I think they fit well.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Definitely.
I mean, it was just a naive thought when I was young.
Oh, I hear you. I hear you. I would love to see that, but not coming here. And then did get a chance to see Black Dahlia Murder. It was Black
Christmas
show.
Yeah, Black Christmas.
About a week ago. That was pretty cool. Hometown show for them, Detroit for us, and it was called Black Christmas. Best way to celebrate
best
Christmas
way, yeah.
That I know. Solid show.
Who else was there? We had Big Wig.
Yeah, a lot of Detroit bands. Like we had Suicide
Machines. Mustard Plug.
A lot more punk and ska, but...
But, yeah.
Yeah, there was really the only metal band was Black Dahlia, and there was one other doomier type of band. I forget the name, but Black Dahlia put on a solid show, big, mix of songs from all of them, really.
I just do want to say, me and Shoddy, we've been fans of Big Wig for a while. We went and seen them,
mm-hmm.
and then we watched a couple songs, rushed up to Black Dahlia, and I kind of got up there. I was like, I fucked up, I think. Like, it was awesome seeing Big Wig, but, I'm glad I... got out of there and went and seen.
I mean, yeah, it was shitty having them both be on at the same time. I mean, I looked at Big Wig the rest of their set later, and they ended up playing fucking Moose.
Oh, yeah,
the songs
I'm sure.
That I wanted to hear. But yeah, I mean, Black Dahlia is Black Dahlia, so...
Very solid. I mean, if you haven't seen them live, then you're messing up.
And all the new songs sounded amazing. Abysmal sounded amazing.
I was just going to say, Abysmal comes through live so well. And then what's the salt? What's the Stirring Seas of Salted Blood one? Is that, you know what I'm talking about from Ritual?
Yeah, yeah.
That song live, man, it's got a whole different tempo than their other songs, you know? And it's got those chants throughout it. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
But holy crap,
he
man.
Gets
that
the crowd fucking going.
It sounded so good. I don't know if you guys were up there yet, but...
Trevor commands the audience.
Yeah, perfect.
You know, he conducts us and he wills us to do what he wants us to do.
Yeah, I don't know how many times we've seen them before. It's been the number's getting up there. We've seen them quite a few times, but if anyone's never seen them out there, I highly recommend it. They were put on one of the most energetic shows and... You know, just go headbang and jump around, and it's awesome.
So, another concert that a couple of us got to see previously was Fit for an Autopsy. We didn't get to do an interview with them at that time, but we did get them on the phone yesterday and got a lot of information from Patrick just about what, you know, how their band works, their writing process, how they feel about the new album, their tours. And then we also got to get a perspective from him on the whole Thy Art Is Murder issue, the statements that CJ made, and you know, we kind of just asked, you know, do they have those kind of financial strains? You know, how does it work? How do they make it work and all that? And he just gave us a really cool perspective
real
on all that.
Straight up answer too.
Mm-hmm.
He was just straight up during the entire interview.
No bullshit kind of guy. He just tells it like it is. So very entertaining. If you don't know the band, I recommend checking them out. We're gonna play a little bit of we're gonna play a song at the beginning and the end for you guys. You're missing out if you haven't heard them. This is an album to be heard from this year.
Patrick Sheridan, and I play guitar for a band called Fit for an Autopsy.
Yeah, Pat, so I know you guys just wrapped up a pretty big tour. You've probably been, it's been the holidays, so have you been kind of had some time off for the holidays then?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really get time off. When you have a family, it's, you know, work on tour, work as soon as you get home. So life is pretty busy, but, you know, it's good to be home and take a little breather, but I'm also looking forward to getting back out on the road in 2016, so... It's starting to shape up to be a busy year. I'm looking forward to it.
I got to ask, get anything good for any good presents?
I mean, honestly, I don't really ask for too much because I'm pretty fortunate. I got, you know, most of the things that I have are the things that I need, and I don't need much. But I think it was more of a gift to get to see my son have a good Christmas and enjoy his time with his family than it was to get anything specific. You know what I mean? That was kind of a great end to my good year, you know?
Right on. I mean, you guys have had a super busy year. I mean, it seems like you guys have been on the road for a big portion of the year, right?
Yeah. I would say probably somewhere about 150 to 200 dates or so, probably closer to 150, but it's been a pretty insane year. It's, I would say 2 years in a row of anywhere from, you know, 150 to 200 shows a year. So it's been a pretty hectic touring schedule, to say the least.
Do you have any highlights like from the past year, like maybe a favorite tour that you guys did?
The Acacia Strain tour was awesome. That tour was great. The tour of the Boarded was also really fun. I'm a big fan of that band. I would say that everything we did, we got the tour with Unearthed. We did a bunch of really cool stuff this year that was awesome. We played Canada a bunch, which was really cool. Highlights, I would say more shows than tours because, you know, we had fun on all the tours we were on. We played probably my favorite show we've ever played in New Jersey at Loudfest this past year on the Acacia tour. It was just intense and like probably the best show we've ever played in Jersey. And then we played a show in Toronto on the Casey Strain tour at this awesome club, and it was sold out. The crowd was really into it. That was a great one. So, and believe it or not, Chain Reaction on that Acacia Strain tour too was also pretty crazy for us. So I would say more individual shows than tours, but it was a great year. A lot of good shows. So
the album came out in October. Have you guys thrown a lot of those new songs into your set list?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, we've been doing a lot of support stuff on these past few tours, you know, no headlining. So we've gotten anywhere from like a 25 to 35 minute set. And we've tried to do at least one song off of the EP and then at least one song off of The Process of Human Extermination. And then we would do, you know, split the rest of the set up between Hellbound and Absolute Hope. So it's been a good, healthy mix. I think the last run we did four songs off of the new record and then filled the rest with the older stuff.
Okay. Do you have a favorite one that you guys like to play live, or is there one from the new album that you're like really looking forward to putting in the mix?
I would like to play Wither live. That song's pretty rad. Also, I really like Absolute Hope, Absolute Hell. That song, the title track from the record, is really sick. I like playing Mask Maker. That song's a lot of fun. I mean, Storm Drains is awesome. I like the whole record. I like playing all of it. The new record's really cool because it's a little more groovy, you know what I mean? A little slower and a little bit more, approachable playing live as far as sound. It's not as chaotic. But I really also love playing the song Thank You, Bud Dwyer, which has always been probably my favorite song to play live because it's so intense, and that was on Hellbound. So it's a good mix. You know, I guess I got a few favorites that I like.
I know I've been reading a lot of the end of the year list lately and everything, and I have seen your guys' album pop up on quite a few end of the year lists. You know, how has the difference been between the reaction from this album and Hellbound? Because it seems to me like you guys are getting quite a bit of buzz on this one.
Well, Hellbound was definitely received very well, but Hellbound, in the grand scheme of things, Hellbound was like our first like major release as far as like being pushed really hard and being put in the right places and, you know, really being, and really having more people exposed to it. We were getting to the point where we're doing bigger tours and getting to play with bigger bands and support bigger bands. So it definitely caught on. But when Absolute Hope, Absolute Hell came out, we already had a pretty large fan base. So then it was accepted by our current fan base. Like, people loved it. But then it broke into a new category where it's a little more approachable than Hellbound. It's aggressive and heavy, and it still has that Fit for an Autopsy feel, but it's a little more melodic, a little bit more open. I think Joe's vocals and his ability make it more approachable for people who maybe aren't into the most extreme of metals. So it became a little bit more accessible, I believe, but it also held on to our old crowd, which is really hard to do. So it's a different animal, and I think that it's allowing a broader range of a fan base, for lack of a better term. You know what I mean? It's bringing more people in because it is more approachable. So it's pretty interesting to see.
I definitely hear there's a lot of similarities and differences between the two albums, but I guess I'm kind of wondering where some of your influences were from when writing this album and what made you guys want to experiment more with your sound?
Well, everybody knows that we have a new singer. Everybody knows that Absolute Hope, Absolute Hell is Joe's first record with us. So the best way I can describe what happened with us is we've all always had really broad ranges in music. I mean, I listen to everything from Steely Dan all the way down to, like, you know, bands like, I don't know, pick any extreme death metal band all the way up to like any kind of like prog metal. Like, I really like music, and everybody in the band really likes music. So you have a band full of people that at that point are only limited by their ability. You understand what I mean? So if you can't do a certain thing, then you can't play that thing. So we had Nate Johnson in the band, and Nate was a great vocalist, but the problem was is that he didn't have a lot of range. He was super good at what he was good at. He was very good at doing it, and he gave us, you know, a couple of really great records full of music, but he just didn't reach out into different areas because of what his ability was. But when we got Joe, Joe can do everything. Joe can sing, Joe can scream, Joe can pitch scream. He's got low, like, throaty growls. He's got the death metal vocalist thing. He's got everything. And we didn't even really know it until we got in the studio and somebody was like, hey, why don't you try doing this? And then he did it and we were just like, whoa, like, we can definitely go above and beyond with this new record and push the boundaries of music and bring outside influences in. So then we started digging into like the post rock and, you know, like some of like the more progressive stuff, you know, Meshuggah influence, you know, influences from bands like Gojira. And it just became the perfect addition to the sound that we were going for. And it worked. And we were like, you know what? Like, it's going to be very different. We hope people understand it. But we think the product is much more what Fit for an Autopsy should be than even our older records, because we all love that stuff, you know? So with, I know it's a very wordy, long answer, but I feel like it's becoming, it's allowing us to explore what we've always wanted to do, is the best way I can put it.
So going off that a little bit, you know, what do you think the album would have sounded like had you not gotten Joe and you would have still had Nate in the band? Would you guys still have wanted to experiment with these new sounds, or would it have been a bit more, you know, like your older material?
I don't know. I mean, that's a really good question. We may have just started writing this record and started growing into this thing, and it might have been one of those things where we would have maybe tried to do it with Nate and see where, you know, Nate's vocals could have taken us. But I also know that when you write a song, you write it to the ability of the people in the band. And if Nate came in and he was like, oh, I don't do that, you know, that's not my thing, it would have probably changed the approach of the record. You know what I mean? There's no way that it couldn't have. So, I mean, looking at it from that point of view, it would have probably been a different record, different sound, different approach, because, you know, maybe we wouldn't have been able to pull off what we pulled off on this record with a guy like Nate. You know, let me just say this. Nate is a great vocalist. He really is. Like, there's no hard feelings with that. Like, it happened the way it did, and he's awesome at what he does. But I feel like Joe is the best possible situation that we can be in for what we want to do with the band.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I really like what Joe did on this new album, and but I guess I want to go into a little bit about producing-wise, and obviously, you know, Will Putney, he produces the albums and main songwriter and stuff, but can you talk a little bit more about how you guys write? And he doesn't tour a lot, to my understanding, so what kind of roles, how it works with, like, you guys touring, but then also Will's, like, on the sidelines kind of doing, you know, the creative stuff for it.
So I actually talked about this in an interview not too long ago. And I think it's a great question. And I think that it's important that people know the truth about the way that music is written. Whenever you have a band, you always have one guy who creates a sound. Like, it doesn't matter what anybody says. Like, it's not always the guy that starts the band either. And it's one of those things where, you know, if you have too many cooks in the kitchen, it may not come out the way that you're hoping it comes out. You know, like, too many ideas can sometimes stump the writing process. So, you know, you get together, you toss some riffs around, you talk about some stuff, and then, you know, we get in a bus or a van and we go on tour. And when we come home, generally, there's a bunch of songs written. And Will has always been, even before he stopped touring and got so busy, he's always been the main contributor to our sound. It's just the way it is. And, you know, certain guys are good at certain things. And I mean, it's his job, you know, it's what he does. So he's going to be proficient at writing records because it's what he does. And to fight that or argue with that is just going to, you know, make the band not sound the way that it's supposed to. So we go out on tour. We come home, there are songs written. We sit down, we listen to the songs. We say, all right, can we do this? Can we try that? You know, can we change this? Can we make these parts longer? This part's sick. I don't really like this part. Cool. All right, let's write some leads. Let's write some solos. You know, we always contribute and write. Like Shane writes parts. Hossian writes drum parts. Me and Tim write leads and solos. We get to listen and, you know, pick apart rhythms and stuff like that. So there's always contributions from everyone in the band. It's just, you know, there's always going to be one guy that has the idea. And if you fight it, it just turns into a mess. So, you know, it's a little different than the way a lot of bands write, but, you know, the industry is so hidden when it comes to like how records get done and the way that things come together for bands. And we don't care who knows and who asks the questions. And, you know, I don't care about, you know, who writes a part. Like, as long as it sounds sick, it's fun to play live and people love it and it's what I think the band should be playing, I'm not going to fight it. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I hope that answers the question that you're asking. I don't always know how to explain it perfect, but I think that's the best way to get the idea of what we do for songwriting out. It's a weird process.
No, that makes a lot of sense. I'm actually glad you explained it a little bit, because what we had heard previously was more just, you know, Will was writing it, you guys were touring it, so that gives us a little more idea of, you know, you guys all contributing more and coming up. It's more like he's a creative director, is what I'm hearing, maybe, and you guys are all...
No, he writes a lot, man. He writes a lot of the music, and it's great because he's creating a sound for us that maybe we had in us that we didn't know. Like, that's what a producer's job is. Like, you go to the studio and you have songs, it's the producer's job to be like, that doesn't fit with the sound. Like, you have to go rewrite that. You have to change that. So Will hears what we're good at playing, and he creates this palette. You know what I mean? And we work from that. And it's definitely interesting, you know, for sure. But we all contribute, too. So there's no egos or any bullshit like that. We are a very proficient working band, and we're lucky to have a guy like Will, because Will makes it possible for us to be out on the road, kick ideas around, talk to him, come up with stuff. He sends us things. Do you like this? Do you not like this? Like, it's very much a working machine, and it works out very well for us. So I have no complaints about that at all.
No, I think it's a good point too. And I know for me, I really like a lot of bands that do have a main songwriter, because it seems like you can really push an idea to its fullest potential, as opposed to maybe if everybody's trying to fight for a certain sound, you know, bands like Opeth and, I just read Rivers of Nihil, the same kind of thing, that, you know, you have a main songwriter and you're able to push those ideas out a little more and not having to split things up as much. So, and you can really tell with this new album, it just feels very cohesive. And is that something you guys kind of wanted to do, is make a very cohesive album that flows really well? Because it's almost an album you want to listen to front to back.
Yeah, I think that's the end game for every band. You know, like, you want to write a record that, you know, each individual song stands out, and like, you it can hold its own water on its own. But then when you listen to the whole record, it keeps the listener's interest from beginning to end. You know what I mean? Almost like you've created one long piece of music from song to song. So, I mean, that's always my biggest gripe with a record. Like, a record could have great songwriting, and it could have, you know, excellent production, and it could sound great. But if the songs are not put together properly, and it's not put together in a way that holds my interest through the record, you know, just by the way the songs are arranged on a record, I can lose interest in it. And I find myself skipping through the CD. Whereas if they took a little bit more time to think about how track one and track two flow into each other, and then like you have a little downtime on track three and then slam back in on track four. Like, in my opinion, you have to think about how a record is going to listen as a whole. You know what I mean? So You write each song individually, and then when you put them together, you create a piece of music in the CD itself. And take a band like Hatebreed, for instance. Like, they have these minute and a half long, 2 minute long bangers. So you take that record, Satisfaction is the Death of Desire. I put that record on, and I feel like I'm listening to one long song. Like, every song drops into the next song perfectly. You know what I mean? And they're, you know, people say, oh, well, they're a hardcore band. It's not that crazy. It's not that complicated. But just the thought process, the way the record's laid out and the way the songs flow into each other, I can listen to that record four times on a four-hour drive and not even realize it. You know what I mean? So it's very important to do a thing like that.
I definitely, I get that feel from the, I love how this last album, you know, start from finish, it's almost one of those ones I can't just put on one song. And I mean, going back to your old stuff, it was more the straight, you know, deathcore. You know, obviously you guys experimented with new sounds and new ways of doing things in this album. And I guess, what's your guys' next step? Where do you guys, are you going to keep pushing that forward, or are you going to stick more to like what your guys are doing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, between writing and touring and recording and Will being home and working with new bands, like, we're always flooded with new music. You know what I mean? All the time. So we're going to hear things that we love, and it's going to push us to work harder. Like, if we take a step back, it's just going to hurt us creatively. We have to keep pushing. We have to keep creating, and who knows where it's going to take us. The next record, maybe it could be, you know, the heaviest, you know, hardest record we ever write, or maybe it could be the most melodic, interesting, like, more progressive thing that we've ever done. But what I can guarantee is that it's going to move forward in sound and ability. There's never going to be a hold up, and we're going to write what we like and what we're feeling at the time. You know, when we wrote Absolute Hope, Absolute Hell, a few guys in the band were, you know, dealing with, you know, life things, and it definitely set a mood for what we wanted to do with the record. That record, for me, there are parts of that record that feel like, excuse me, feel like super sad, and like other parts that feel really angry, and it's conveying a feeling. So I feel like whatever it is that is going on personally within the band, whatever it is that's going on with the band on the road and the things that are happening, and like it's getting hectic again, and, you know, we're starting to do more things. So I just feel like everything in the band is progressing, and we're going to keep progressing musically. We're going to keep writing what we want to write, doing the things that we want to do, and hopefully everybody keeps up with it the way that they have been. You know what I mean? We never think about, oh, well, do we want to revisit what we did? We just write what we feel we should be writing, and to us, that's taking the step forward. You know, everything, I mean, you never want to take a step back. I guess I don't want to answer it with the cliche answer. I'm looking for the best way to give you a real answer on how I feel about that. Everybody says, oh, no, man, we're going to write the sickest, keep going forward and keep pushing. You know, it's the same answer everybody's going to give you. But for us, it's just whatever we're feeling. You know what I mean? Like, if it feels like it should be more aggressive, then we're going to make it more aggressive. If it feels like it should be more melodic, then we're going to make it more melodic. We're going to do what feels right to us. And that's it's just, how many bands tell you our next record's going to be the heaviest record we've ever written? Of course, that's, you know, everybody wants to believe that that's going to happen, but who knows? You know what I mean? I really don't have an answer.
I think it's easy to hear that though and believe it. I mean, I wasn't even a big fan until I heard this album, and this is what really made me a bigger fan, with the way that you guys did push the envelope a little bit, and basically made me a person that's going to be watching whatever you guys do next.
Well, that's good to know. And, you know, believe me, we appreciate hearing that. It definitely doesn't fall on deaf ears, and it makes us want to work harder when people say that stuff. So that's cool. Thank you.
Yeah. I wanted to ask one more kind of off topic question here. I don't know if you guys have heard about, you probably have, the whole news with CJ from Thy Art Is Murder, leaving that band recently due to the financial issues. you know, he made a lot of comments about how hard it is on the road, how little money they're making. You know, do you guys have those same problems? And, you know, I guess, how do you guys make it work as a band?
Man, I definitely, here's the thing. I'm pretty tight with the Die Artist Murder guys. And our whole band is like, they're like, that band is like, they're like our brothers, you know, like they're the one of the few bands that we go out on the road with, and it's just perfect all the time. We love being out with them. They're great people. As far as what CJ did, everybody's been playing it safe with that. I personally think it was a little bit openly disrespectful to discuss any kind of finances or talk about any kind of finances within the band. I feel like that stuff, the business side of what we do, is really none of anyone's business, and it cheapens what we do when you come out and you do that. I don't do this for money. I don't do this for fame. While it's great that people are really getting into the stuff and we're doing better, the most important thing for me is getting out and playing music. I have a family. I have a son. I struggle financially because I'm in a band. It's just what it comes down to, you know. And what it comes down to for me and my guys is the level of want. It's how bad you want it and how bad you want to do it in comparison to the struggles that come along with it. Do I believe everything that I read in that article? No, I don't believe it all. I know that we are struggling as guys that are in a band to live a normal life at home and be able to pay our bills on the road, sure. But Thy Art is at a different kind of level than we are. And we know what the pay is for what we make. So if we can make it work, why can't CJ make it work? You understand what I mean? Personally, we all struggle. Anybody that's in a band in one way or another, depending on the level that the band is at, especially in the metal world, these guys are, you know, eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, living out of the back of a 15-passenger van. Like, it's not easy. You know, I'm a 39-year-old man playing guitar in a death metal band when I could be home having a career and taking care of my family. Like, yeah, there's struggles that come with that. But it's a passion. And if you truly love it and you truly love what you're doing and this is what you want to do, then you figure out how to make it work. You know, you hustle when you get home. You work your ass off. You save your money so you can be ready for the next tour. You put yourself in situations that you can afford. You live within your means, you know. There's ways to make it work. So every band, I promise you, at every level has some sort of a struggle, whether it be, you know, financial or relationship-wise or family-wise. There's something going on in the background. And that's why when I hear people say, man, this new record is great, we love what you're doing, it makes me want to go out and keep touring, and it keeps me from giving up. And no matter what anybody says, when you give up on doing the thing that you love, it's not because of the thing that you love. It's because you can't put in the work to continue doing what you're doing. And to me, that whole situation that you just brought up, while I'm keeping my overall thoughts and comments about it to myself, I feel that there was a lot of disrespect involved in it because, again, that stuff is personal, it's business, and it's none of anyone's business on how that works. That's the most that I'm going to say about it.
No, thank you. That's some good insights into it. You know, just wanted to kind of get, and it's just been so many different things going back and forth, and we know the struggles that, you know, any band is facing right now with the way the music industry is. So it does, you know, it's very respectable, and it just seems like you guys are very passionate and you know, no bullshit kind of a guy. So yeah, so just thanks for the opinion on that. What do you guys have next planning out for the year? Do you guys have any tours coming up that you guys are looking forward to or anything?
Yeah, I can't get into with who and what just right now because all of the final details are being put on it, but we have two tours that are going to be back to back. So we leave in March, and then we're going to be gone March, April, May, and then we're off for a couple of weeks, and then June, July, we're going to be doing some festival stuff in Europe. And then we're off from that. And then, you know, there's always the possibility of a summer slaughter or something like that through the summer. And then we'll definitely be out, I believe, in the fall with another pretty big package. It kind of sucks that I can't talk about any of it, like, legitimately, but I can promise you that this year is going to be just as hectic as last year for us. It's just we're starting a little later in the year to give ourselves a chance to recharge. And there's going to be some new music released next year as well, 2016. We're going to be releasing some new music. So there's no breaks for us. You know what I mean? Yeah, the reality of it is we're going to be as busy as we've ever been for the next couple of years.
Right on. Well, I'm hoping we can catch you guys next time you come back in town. But yeah, thanks, man, for taking the time to do this interview. Is there anything else you want to give a shout out to the fans or anything?
Yeah, I just want to thank everybody for, you know, taking a chance to check out our records, taking a chance to see us live. Like, even if you decide you don't like it, you know, that's great that you gave it a real listen. And, you know, we're a real bunch of guys. So, you know, please, if you come out to see us play, we're always hanging out at the merch table. Come say hello to us. Hang out. Bullshit. We love meeting people that support heavy music. And, you know, I want to thank you guys for, you know, being interested in us enough to have us on your show. It's pretty cool to be asked cool questions and given a chance to talk about how we feel.
Well, we want to give a huge thanks to Pat from an Autopsy. Really cool guy to talk to, and I hope, you know, in the near future, anytime we see him live and stuff, we can talk to him again. But I hope you guys enjoyed that, and this has been another episode of Into the Combine.
I'm Shadi.
Jason.
Stay in the man.
And stay metal, guys.
Pretending it's a lie. Sometimes people Push, I just fucking die. Stop pretending that's wrong. Stop pretending.